This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Sassy, I am one of your hosts, Jennifer Smith, here with the wonderful and beautiful Miranda. Say hi, Miranda.
Hello.
How are you, baby?
So I am currently sitting with the laptop in my lap so we can record, and my foot is propped on this really funny looking Olaf pillow and like three other pillows.
What did you do?
Well, as I told you, that I told the ladies at the doctor, I don't know, and if you know me, I probably did this in my sleep on air. The official term is plantar fasciitis.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
I'm aware, yes.
But they thought it was a bone spur, so I have plantar fasciitis, and along with that, because I aggravated the plantar fasciitis, I have torn something around in the same area as well.
Okay, so when I had this problem, I went on Amazon and I got this little strap thingy that went around my foot, and like it had like arch support in the middle of
it.
So it would like kind of like hug my foot and like had this little padding thing on the bottom part, and it helped a lot. I hadn't had any problems with it since I wore that for a little bit.
So I have the I just Amazon searched to see what you're talking about. That's really cool. So I have like it's kind of a bigger version of it. Mm-hmm. So it's like a whole, the only thing out of it, it's like a sock, but your toes aren't in it. So it's like compression sock. Like it covers extra area is all it does. Cause mine is actually, the pain is where, I'm looking at where the sock goes. So that's like where the scoop of your foot starts, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So from like there all the way to the back of the heel is where it hurts. Mm. Because when I, like, first started, this has been going on for, like, a week and a half, 2 weeks. I stepped down out of bed one morning. I was like, oh, man, that didn't feel so good. But I'm really clumsy, and I thought I just pulled a muscle, and I was like, yeah, ibuprofen, I'll get through it. So I, like, wrapped it, ibuprofen it, did what I normally do. And I noticed, like, as it's gone on, it's gotten, like, a little more painful and a little worse. And it's really bad. So, like, just sitting here, it's a little, like, tingly and uncomfortable. But, like, it's when I stand up. And now, if I've been walking around on it for a good little bit, it's just uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But it's like when I initially stand up and I start trying to walk at any point, like if I've been sitting at the desk for a couple hours or if I've been like asleep, yeah, it's like excruciating. And I was like, but that doesn't make sense because when I mash on my foot, because you're mashing on your foot and your ankle in the normal spots, and you're like, that doesn't hurt. And then randomly yesterday, I like mashed the spot where your heel starts. And I was like, oh yeah, I might vomit right now.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah, I guess I just hit it right in that spot where it is, and it wasn't pleasant. So I took my happy butt to the doctor today, and they were giggling at me because, you know, unfortunately, in the world we live in, they have to ask you several times, like, kind of like they did that time I went to the ER, remember? Like, they kept asking me, like, what were you doing? How did this happen? And I was like, seriously, you don't understand. You can ask any of my friends. I probably looked sideways at the air. It didn't like me. It accosted me. Like, that's the kind of person I am.
And then what did they give you?
Okay. What was your remedy? They gave me some really funny shit. It's really funny. And it's also really odd because it has to be mail ordered to you. It's not because of my insurance. It's because I do have insurance. The doctor's office I went to has a deal with two, like, mail order pharmacies where you have to have insurance to get medications from them, like private insurance, like what you and I have. So you have to have insurance. They don't run your insurance, but everything you get is name brand 90-day supply for $10.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was like, well, because I'm double insured. So at first I was like, when they called and left a message telling me I owed them $10, I was like, no, I don't. Yeah, I get it, people. It's just $10. But, you know, I'm pretty proud of being recently double insured here. Mm. So when they explained that to me, I was like, oh, okay. So they gave me this. It's a Duexis Duos. Anyway, that is an ibuprofen Prevacid mix. Because stuff like that bothers me. Like, prolonged use bothers me because of my acid reflux. So it's like, it's a medication that has Prevacid and 800 milligram ibuprofen together.
Ah, 800 milligram.
Yes, 800 milligrams.
That's good stuff.
Stuff the VA gives you every time you do anything. Mm-hmm. And then they gave me this stuff that the reason you're asking. Because I told Jenny, I was like, okay, let me rewrap my foot and take my medicines, and then we can go ahead and get the show on the road. And then she calls me, and she's like, hey, you ready? And I'm like, well, so what had happened was I get my foot all wrapped up. I get hobbled up on the bed, propped up on the funky Olaf pillow, got my water, used the bathroom, good to go. And then I pull out this. I'm like, wait, where's the other box of medicine they gave me? They gave me two. Because they give you a Femple, because obviously it takes like 3 or 4 days for your mail order stuff to get processed and get here. They gave me like sample boxes of each. I'm like, where's my second box? I know they gave me something else to take. And I go dig it out of my purse, and I'm like, crap. It's called Pinsed, and it is telling me that it contains 40 milligrams. And I don't, if you know how to properly say this, don't. Like, don't give me a dirty face, okay? Like, I see you over there, Nick Vester. It's diclofenac sodium in 2 grams of solution per unit dose packet. What says right here. And it's like, hey, you got to apply the contents of this packet to the affected area. It actually says knee. And on the box, I noticed whoever gave me the sample marked out knee and wrote area. Which, by the way, I have arthritis and my knees need shit, so I'm going to test this. So apply contents of one packet to affected knee 2 times a day. Squeeze all the Pinsed out of the packet into the palm of your hand. And then you read on down some and it's like, thoroughly wash hands after use. So then I got to get back up. I've got myself on. Hobble my way over to the bathroom. And then Jenny in the computer because I'm having a conversation with Jenny.
Then 45 minutes later, we start the show.
Wash my hands. Make some plans for future episodes. Oh, my God. I'm over doctors and medication this month, and I know you are, too.
God, you fucking said that shit. I'm done with it. Oh, my Jesus. Also, like, school just started, and I was so happy about that, and then I'm already just like, fuck school. Like, can we just, like, do you need a formal education? Like, is that a thing that, like...
Well, I mean, I'm just going to say I've met some people that haven't, and I'd recommend it. But you can homeschool. Like, you don't do it homeschool. So I have friends that do this in different states throughout the U.S. It's called K-12 Connections Academy or something like that. Anyway, they're accredited, and each state has their own program. So, like, you pay for it, you sign up, they log in. They have specific days that they have to log in. There's a person face-to-face teaching them. So our happy asses are not physically teaching homeschooling the boys. Mm. It's like public school at home.
Yeah, no, because no. Because then I'm stuck in my fucking house with them. You know, I'm like, no, he needs to be out doing, like, meeting people that are not me. Can I just say that?
No,
like, you know, like, we've had our time, you know. I love you.
I love you, but I love you.
But you need to go away for a little bit. And I'm sorry. Whatever that makes me sound like, I don't care. But
no, I don't. It's just the truth. I don't think that makes you sound bad at all.
And it's not just selfish. It's like for him as well. I mean, I'm sure he gets tired of my stupid face and my stupid voice and me telling him to do shit all the time, and just constant like singing and nagging and you know whatever. So you know, it's mutually beneficial.
This is true. That is honestly, a lot of people have asked me why, and I'm like, because my kid needs like the social aspect and the friendship aspect and. Like, the things I can't give him.
Right.
And, like, mom's friendship only goes so far. Right. Please back up out of my face and stop talking to me about Hearthstone for the 20,000th time this afternoon since you've been in my car since 3:15.
I'm not trying to talk about Fortnite at all. I'm tired of you begging me for B-Bucks or whatever the fuck that is. I don't know. But
yes.
But at the same time, school sucks anyway. So, like, I'm just, it all sucks. And I'm just, what the fuck ever. Let's just do this podcast so I can stop thinking about this shit. It's the reason I do the podcast.
That is the reason we do the podcast. But to agree with you, I will say, sixth grade, ratios, math, I'm over it. I'm just going to send you, at the end of the school year, I'm going to start sending you and be like, Jenny, here's all our sixth grade shit. Maybe this will help.
Yeah, I'll get right on that.
Well, no, it'll be done. It'll be completed. You'll be like, oh, that's how they do that.
Well, we're in different states now, friend.
Yeah, but friend, Common Core sucks ass and it's everywhere.
Let's just fucking cheat until graduation. Can that be my plan?
Well, technically, I mean, I don't know if it's completely cheating because you guys would have different workbooks, but I know I'm looking at this workbook right now going, what the fuck? And I will say, because we won't get off this topic, I know we both do, there's a QR, like, they know parents ain't having this shit, because I'll take a picture of this workbook and send it to you. In the bottom corner of this workbook on the front cover is a QR code that you can click on, and then the QR code takes you to this little website and ask you which lesson and unit you're on, grade, lesson, and unit, and then it promptly plays a video for you where some teacher that gets and just loves Common Core teaches you how to do all of these problems.
Okay.
Well, he doesn't do it. So, like, there's four on a worksheet or a page. He'll do, like, two of them because two are usually subtracting in some manner, and two of them are, like, anyway, he does two of them. He doesn't do all of them because then kids would just look that shit up. They're smart like that.
Right.
So he does like two of them. And then he's like, I did this one, which should show you how to do this one. And then I did this one. But I'm like, I have to watch the video like three times. But yeah, they know we ain't getting it because they got that QR code right there on the front of them. I was like, I don't know whether to be impressed, insulted, excited. I don't know. I'm like all the fucking things with ratios. I'm not good with those.
Oh, God. All right.
Ah,
Moving on.
How are you? She's over school. She's over medicine. She's over Miranda and her issues.
I'm just like, give me some Jack Daniels and leave me the fuck alone. That's where I'm at right now.
I love the look that these people give at me as a doctor, by the way, because they're like, how often do you drink? And, like, you guys know, like, you know the truth. I'm like, I'm occasional social. And they just kind of, because of my age, I can see this look. I can see this, like, bad Alicia. I'm like, no, really, like, I'm occasional social. And she's like, well, when's the last time you drank? I was like, like, I had to think about it. I think the last time I drank was when I came down to your house.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
It's been a while.
I would buy that. Well, right? You know, I went to, whatever, we're just going to keep talking about this, but I went to a new doctor this week, or last week, and one of the questions is, like you said, like, how many drinks a week are you drinking? I'm like, I don't know how to answer this question right now, because, like, at what point do they start judging you? So it's like,
I would just write in really big letters, my kids in school, Common Core math, need any more?
I think I settled on 4 drinks a week. So I feel like there's some sort of formula that doctors use, like, with this question. Like, if somebody answers you, they're lying, number one, about this question. So it's like you have automatically times 3 or whatever.
Is this like the sexual power of 5 thing?
Sure.
Have you ever heard that?
No.
So, like, I was always told this throughout college. If a guy tells you, or even a girl, but if a guy tells you he's had sex with 4 people, power of 5. And then, of course, in sex education. Yeah, I think it was like something like he times it by five. And they were like,
but if sex education, that means if he's had sex with five people and then those five people have had sex with five people, then those.
You know, they try to scare you.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it's like the power of five or something like that is what they call it. They don't actually mean to the power of, but it's like you multiply whatever they say by like five, which is probably just slight exaggeration.
But why would a guy lie about it in a negative way?
Well, they were
way.
Saying either one of them. In a negative way?
Yeah,
well,
I'm saying
like...
Because
that girl being like, oh, I don't want to...
Yeah, he is.
He's a womanizer. Yeah. He's a womanizer. He told me he's only been with three people. He's been like 15. I don't know. I just remember that. I don't know if it's entirely true. I don't know. I've never lied. But anyway,
I don't know.
Not about my sexual partners. Let me rephrase that.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
All right.
A lie and a regret are two different things, Jenny. Never lied. Only regretted.
What if they ask you that on their questionnaire at the doctor?
I'm going to be like, never. Actually, they do. Gynecologists ask you, how many partners have you had? I'm going to be like, never lied, have regretted.
I don't know that I've ever answered that question on a questionnaire before.
I have.
I might have to when I go.
I don't think I have in years, but I think like initially when you do your, and it's one of those, like if you check mark married, they don't, and you've been like, they don't really ask a lot of questions, but I know, like, initially when I first started going to the guy I see, and I've been with him and Dothan for, like, 10 years now, 11 years, but when I first went, they asked me, like, how many sexual partners have you had?
Hmm.
I'm like, ooh, okay, I'm writing this down. It's not that bad, but, I mean, I don't know. I don't know, somebody out there may be like, well, two is too many. So, to that person, I guess I'm a whole lot. It only takes one hand, though, people. One hand.
One hand.
No more than one hand to count the people.
Oh, wow. Okay. Look at you giving details.
And that, like I said, never lied. Only regretted.
All right. Oh, my Lord.
We are E for explicit for a reason.
Mm, yeah. Let's talk about TV shows and shit now.
TV shows and shit. I like how you said that.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is no longer Read and Stream. This will be TV shows and shit with Jenny and Miranda. I like that. They didn't even give me the good medicine either, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, you would be drooling, passed out on your couch.
No, I can't have it. No, I would be broke out in hives with my throat trying to close up on me and seeing shit. The last time they gave me the wrong medicine on accident, there was an Aborigine man in my corner of my bedroom beating on a drum, and there was a purple spider on the end of my bed dancing to it. The shit was not... Some people might be like, hey, that was a good trip.
I was going to say, that does not sound
good. Your throat is closing up. You know, if it had not been for the hives and the throat closing up, I probably would have enjoyed that shit.
Right, right.
I would have danced with the spider, and I hate fucking spiders.
Oh.
All right, 45 minutes, Miranda, losing your mind.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah. We were worried about the length of this, but I don't know why we ever worry about that.
Everyone loves us.
We never have a shortage of content. I'll just say that.
Well, technically, I'm looking at how long we've been on the call with each other, and that does include our conversation beforehand. So we're doing pretty okay.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, let's not include any of that in the show.
Oh, no. No, we're good. I'll start at your... We're doing this now.
Tell me what you've been streaming.
Let me see. So Jerry goes, you know, he's been home now for a month.
You sound so excited about that.
I was very excited for a while. I go back and forth with this. Right now, I'm very, like, concerned, like, doting over him. Like, what do you need? What can I get you? Because it's, like, gone really rough.
Mm-hmm.
but his sleep schedule is like effing with mine. Let me say his lack of sleep schedule. So because of his lack of sleep schedule, we have been actually watching Netflix. Cause we're like, he can't sleep at night. So he's like, oh, he'll either like go through the HBO channels and stuff, find a really bad movie and then tell me all about it. Cause I'm like, peace out, going to bed. Or we'll do Netflix. So we did, what the hell is the name of that show? It's going to drive me nuts. I do know that we started recording Mysteries of the Abandoned on, like, the Science Channel. That's pretty cool. If you're one of those people that kind of digs, like, those whole, like, conspiracies, like, why don't we use this anymore? And stuff like that. Like, old abandoned. The one we watched tonight was an abandoned jail slash asylum place in Cuba. That one was like the cells are open, like everyone can see you. So it's just like floors and floors of cells where everybody can see each other. And it ended up like not working obviously for multiple reasons, but it's just all these abandoned places throughout the world. And like when they did work, what did they do? What was their purpose? And there's this guy on there, cracks me up. His name is, because, you know, they have those people kind of like alien guy, right? They have those people that cut in. You see their face. They explain something about the whatever the topic is, and they go from there. So I noticed tonight, and I don't know why I noticed this before, there's a guy on there that Jerry gets tickled, and he's like, he's got my dream job. So his official title is engineer and adventurer. Jerry's like, how the fuck do you get to be? How do you get to be a paid adventurer? He's like, I want to do that shit. But at night, I'm paying more attention to the guy. And I'm like, holy fuck. You'll have to look him up. Because if you don't think of Jerry when you look at him, like, seriously. He's this British guy named Rob Bell.
Okay.
And Jerry's jealous of him, even though they look like they're brothers. Because Rob Bell is an adventurer.
Well, you got to be jealous of an adventurer.
Right? I was like, you gonna go off and become Indiana Jones on me, honey? If it pays, I'm okay with that.
He doesn't really look like Jerry to me.
This episode tonight he did, and maybe that's why I didn't notice before. It's the beard and everything. Because Jerry's got his beard back.
All right.
I don't know that. Okay, so the first guy that pulls up that's Rob Bell, don't think that's him.
Okay.
That is not him.
All right.
Because this guy's married. Not him.
Anyway.
So that is a pretty cool show, especially if you're into like sciencey stuff or like abandoned things and like, why is this, you know, that's cool. So I really liked that show, which it's random. You can watch reruns, that kind of thing. And then, I never watched Dark Matter. Did you?
I want to say maybe just the first episode or two.
Okay. So that is one that, if I remember correctly, I stopped watching it because they pulled a Firefly and, like, didn't air it correctly.
Yeah. Out of sequence.
Yeah, and it could totally, like, this is one of the shows, like, you can totally screw that up. So we watched... We're almost completely finished with Dark Matter. And it's good, actually. It's really good. You have to pay attention. There's a lot of, like, what? They all wake up on this ship because it's, you know, space age.
Right, yeah.
They all wake up on this ship and none of them know who they are or how they got there.
Right. That's what I remember of it.
Yeah. It's through the series of them figuring out why they got there, how they got there, who they are, and then kind of at some point, obviously, because there's like three seasons, they choose to like continue to hang out together and like figure it out and keep on going. It's actually really good. So if you never watched it, I'd recommend that one. It only has three seasons. Like there is no more. It's done. So we did that one. I'm scrolling through a list of what else we watched. Because I want to say I've already mentioned some of these. we did start Black Lightning because, you know, we never actually started it.
Mm-hmm.
I really like it.
I did,
it's
too.
It's very relevant, I would say.
Yeah, I feel like it kind of touches on some social issues and things like, that maybe some of the other shows can't.
Like current relevant social issues that, of course, you're going to get out of, you know, I kind of thought it was cool. But, yeah.
Yeah, I liked it, too. I need to finish.
I think we're only on, like, episode two. And at first, I'll say I was having an issue figuring out, like, how old his daughters were at first. I was like, what? How old? And, of course, that gets explained a little bit later in the episode. But I was like, what? But I do really like it. Which I had not heard anything but positive about it. But it was one that you were like, what do you think? And I'm like, I can't tell you yet. So we're still working our way through that one. I feel like there was something else that we watched. Oh, we watched, it was a movie, actually, a Netflix movie that has Jamie Dornan, who is from Once Upon a Time, and he's Christian Grey. Series. It's about a group or a my phone's is doing that. It's time to go to bed. The Irish army. So essentially before a certain time period, they actually did not fight in any wars. They were like, no, you know, we're just peacekeepers. We're cool over here. And, I'm trying to get the exact name for you, but while I'm doing that, it's a true story. Like, it's based on a true story. And it was sad. It's the siege of Doddettsville. So it's a boom boom military, like, based on a true story.
Okay.
It's a Netflix original. It's Siege of Doddettsville. And it's essentially, so this group of Irish soldiers, they're on a UN peacekeeping mission in Africa. And they end up getting thrown out here on this outpost, and the UN ambassador and everybody's like, oh, you're going to be fine. They keep calling and saying, like, no, we're not fine. Like, we're taking heavy fire. Like, what is going on? You said this was just supposed to be like a hangout, observe things. Like, a lot of these guys had never, ever been in any form of combat, ever.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Irish army just was always like, no, you know, we're going to be like Switzerland. I don't know how, like, it's amazing because they're a unit of 60 is the other thing. They're a very small unit and they're taking on like hundreds of these like crazy mercenary rebels and they make it. But the problem was because the UN, like, this is not giving anything away because it's your story. So if you look it up, it's all you're going to tell you what happens, right? So, like, this group of them makes it. Like, this certain section of them make it. And they're pretty badass when you realize there were 60 of them. And they fought that many fucking people. And you watch, like, the scenarios that they had to deal with during that time, too. Because it's not current time period. This would have been 1960. D-ish, I believe, if I'm correct. I could be wrong on that. But they handle their business, but then they get home. And even though people screwed up, not them, a lot of high people screwed up big time, they had to go home and not tell the true story of what happened. So for years, they were thought of as cowards. And it wasn't until it tells you, it gives you a lot more information at the end of the story. It shows you the picture of the real group of guys, not the actors.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't given, like, I think it was like 2005 before something was done. And they're like, wait, this entire group of amazing men were not cowards. This is their story. This is what they went through. And they weren't, like, they came home. They weren't given a hero's welcome by any means. They lived probably some pretty shitty lives when they got back to Ireland because they were treated as like waving the white flag.
Wow. What's the name of this again?
So yeah, it's Siege of Jadotville. So it's Jadotville. Okay. And if you can't find it, spelled really weird, just type Jamie Dormer in on Netflix there, and it pulls up for you.
Okay.
That's how I had to find it. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. And there were several times I was like, oh God, oh God, no, who? Yeah. The cast is pretty impeccable. And Jamie Dormer with a mustache killing some shit. Oh, it does things.
Even more than Christian Grey.
Double bonus. I don't know. I actually, believe it or not, I've never watched any of the movies. I've read the entire book series. I am one of the weirdos that people are like, that was the worst book series ever. I really enjoyed the book series. I liked it. That was my first introduction, actually, into something on that level. Mm-hmm. And I liked it, but I've actually never watched any of the movies.
I haven't either. That's weird. Mm. All right. You got anything else?
I think we're good, TV-wise.
Okay. Well, I watched all of a new series on Netflix that just dropped, and I, of course, was going to be right on it because it's from Matt Groening, who created the best TV series of all time, which is Futurama. So this is his new show called Disenchantment.
I'm so excited for this one. I have not started it.
I watched all 10 episodes, which it says it's part one, and it's 10 episodes, so not sure when part two is dropping, but they kind of do a cliffhanger thing.
Is that a new Netflix thing? Have you noticed that with some of those?
Yeah, it kind of is. So,
part one, part two.
So you've got Abby Jacobson, who I know is on something.
That name sounds familiar.
I think she's on something that Susan watches. And Eric Andre, Nat Faxon, which I really like him. John DiMaggio, which is, he's amazing in everything.
Woo-hoo. Right.
Tress McNeil, David Herman, Maurice LaMarche, Billy West, of course. So you get a lot of those kind of classic Simpsons and Futurama voices here, but this is, it's pretty different from both of those shows. Like, I mean, obviously, they all have the same sort of look, that look where you know it's one of his shows. But it's set in, like, medieval times. It's a princess named Bean, who is a drunk. And she has a lot of daddy issues, and her mother's dead, of course, because what princess has, you know, both parents? So she's kind of a fuck up, and the dad is, you know, just not, just doesn't believe she's worth anything, really. And so she...
Is she the only child? She's a princess, so she's the king's only child.
The king got remarried, so she has a stepmother, and then they had a child. So, but he's kind of like a dunce, like idiot character, honestly. But he wants to marry her away to have an alliance with a neighboring kingdom, and of course,
Edwin does.
Right, of course, she does not want to do that, and then. From there, it's just a series of adventures. Pretty funny. But it takes you a little bit to warm up. It's not going to be, like, out of the gate funny. And it's not the same type of humor that, like, a Futurama has, which is very sort of nerdy. And this is a lot more... I'm trying to think of the right word. Like,
I was going
to
say, is there another... adult cartoon that humor-wise could compare it to?
Being that it's on Netflix, they do curse more, and it is pretty violent, which set in
it's
the...
medieval.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, in that time frame, it's not gratuitous violence, but it is... It's cartoony violence, but it has a little bit of an edge, if that makes sense. It's like you see people get whacked in the head with an axe, but you don't see blood and stuff. Just,
I mean, you saw blood on The Simpsons when Itchy and Scratchy would hit each other. So, I mean.
But there's all different kinds of, like, magical creatures, like giants and elves, a demon even. So it's just, it's really, like, fun, smart. I really loved Bean. She, of course, I identified with her quite a bit, but she has this real, like, she's very lost. You get that feeling from her, but you also get that she wants to be more, she wants to do more, but she doesn't know how.
How old is she supposed to be? Because I'm very much identifying with, like, you know, 18 or 19 year old,
yeah,
like, hey, you need to get married and go to college and start a family, and like, I just, I don't know, I'm hearing that for some reason.
It is, yeah, she's late teens, but yeah, all the voice performances are really good, and it's just quality. It really is. So I feel like some people I saw, like, they mentioned some bad reviews and stuff, and I mean, I guess you could believe that if you want to, but really just pick it up, try it out.
Do you think they were expecting, because you said it is different than Futurama, do you think they were expecting for it very much to be, like, almost very similar or aligned with Futurama, because it's not humor-wise? They're like,
Maybe so, and I could see how if you were expecting that, you would be disappointed, because obviously I love Futurama, so, but you have to understand, like, you know, it's a different show. Like,
right.
The creator can't do the same show over and over. Like, give the guy a break. Give him a chance to make a different kind of show.
Well, if he's going to do that, he would have just found a way to bring back more Futurama.
Right. Which he needs to do anyway.
Which I saw the picture that you posted, like, to his little homage up there in the corner.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure with more rewatches, which I do plan on rewatching this a lot, I will pick up more and more references to other shows. I think in the, like you said, there was a Planet Express ship in one of the frames, mm-hmm, and stuff like that. But I didn't immediately pick up on a lot of them on the first watch. But I will say, like, it looks really pretty. Like, I was always, there were at least once or twice an episode, I would be like, damn, this animation looks really good. Like, it's sharp. It's detailed. The quote unquote sets of the show are so well thought out. It doesn't feel lazy or look the same. It doesn't look like anything I've seen before, even though it does have a signature look.
Well, the photos that they released when they were like, "Hey, this is what's coming out," they looked really good. They were enough that I was like, "Yeah, I want in on that."
Yeah. I like this animation style, and I hope that more shows do this type of thing. It looks really good, so try that out. Real quick, we started watching Luke Cage season 2. I think we're on like episode 7. So I won't go into a full thing there, but I do like Luke Cage season 2 quite a bit. I think that the Mariah character, she has gone full nutball, and I love it. Alfrey.
Is this season supposed to be sort of kind of topical, kind of like Black Lightning is in some senses? I don't know. That's what I was getting from the preview that they did. And it looked like, does he get a lot of screen? I guess. You're 7 episodes in. Does he actually get a lot of Luke Cage screen time? And is it supposed to be, like, bringing him current events? Because that trailer was a little bit, like, I'm not sure. Maybe. Don't know.
There's a little bit of an element of that, but I wouldn't say it was as heavy-handed as Black Lightning is with it.
Okay. Gotcha.
But because this season feels lighter than the first season. There's a lot more humor to it, and there's a ton of violence in it, but there's not in the much in the way of like bigger steaks. It's all sort of like very street level, which I think is what you kind of want in Luke Cage. So it's a small story, if that makes sense. Which is what I like about it. You know, it's supposed to be about Harlem and, you know, what's happening in this small area, kind of like how Jessica Jones does and how Daredevil does. But like I was saying, Mariah, her character and the performance by Alfre Woodard is so good. She's so good at this. Like she kind of steals the show. Like it should be called Mariah and Shades at this point for me. Because they're awesome. And all right. So full review of Luke Cage when I finish that.
All right.
Another one that I have not finished is Castle Rock, which is a show on Hulu. And it is set in the, what do you want to call it? Like the world of Stephen King. So it has a,
my phones are like overriding the going off thing. Sorry.
It's not based on a specific work called Castle Rock by Stephen King, but it's like,
is it based on any other, cause they've done it before where it's based on a work, but it goes by a different name.
It's kind of hard to explain, but it's like a amalgamation of a lot of his different works. Like there's references to many, many, many of his stories,
and oh, it's yeah,
set in Castle
here.
Rock. So like Shawshank Redemption, like most of this takes place in the prison at Shawshank.
Okay.
So there's tons and tons of callbacks.
Starts with Castle Rock first appeared in King's 1979 novel, The Dead Zone, and has reappeared as late as 2013, Dr. Sleep, and then a 2014 revival. So, yeah, that would be a lot of different, like, works and thoughts combined.
Yeah, it's kind of a game in and of itself, trying to, like, piece it together, like, oh, that's from this, and that's from this, and that's part of the appeal of the show to me, and I think
how's the creep factor?
It's
like on 1 to 5, 5 being the like creepastic.
Not yet, I will say, because it has a slow burn to it.
Okay.
There is a character that is very creepy, but you haven't seen it. Like I haven't seen it yet because I'm only like 6 episodes in. And I kind of feel like at the end of this 6th or 7th episode, something needs to happen. Like, we need to pick this up. So, like, I need there to be an event that happens. Because right now, you're just doing a lot of, like, character, character, character. And, like, I need some, you know, creepiness to happen at some point here. So it will, I'm sure. All right, what else? Insatiable. Have you heard about this show?
I have, and I really want to watch it. That's the one with Debbie Ryan where she's, like, not attractive. Nobody cares about her. Nobody notices her. And then she has some sort of accident, and she's, like, hot. And it goes from there, and I really don't know.
Yeah, she was a fat girl, and she's a high schooler. And she she ends up getting punched in the face and has her jaw wired shut for, like, 3 months. And loses a bunch of weight, so now she's all hot. Which Debbie Ryan is freaking gorgeous.
Right, right. She's a very, very pretty girl.
Yes. She's, like, stunning. Like, it's distracting at times to, like, because this show is insane. But, like, you're just like, okay, Debbie Ryan, I'm just going to watch her. Because, good God, she's gorgeous. Anyway, the show has maybe one likable character. Most of the characters are assholes. And I don't know why.
Assholes that, like, you love to hate, like, you need them for the show, or, like, you just don't like them?
You kind of don't like them, but it's still intensely watchable for me, because, like, it's brainless. You know what I'm saying?
I love stuff like, I'm going to be honest, I love that.
Like, I could just switch the shit off in my brain. Like, I don't have to think about anything else that matters. I can just watch a show, and there's enough in there that's either funny or whatever, relatable. And
isn't that supposed to kind of be what these things do for us, though?
Right, but I could see where some people might have issues with the show because they're like, clearly they're just terrible people doing terrible things. But I don't know. It's not that bad to me.
We can't deny that most of us in America, we are like, we may be like, that's horrible, but we enjoy watching every moment of it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fluff, but you know, she does good. She's very good at this role, and Dallas Roberts is in it and he's very good. Alyssa Milano is in it. She's excellent.
I love her.
So what they're doing, you know, their performances are really, really spot on. And I think there's a lot of young, new talent in this show.
A lot of people may not know Debbie Ryan. Mm-hmm. I know her because she was one of the main characters on a Disney Channel show that Caden and I used to watch together. And she's hit that age now where she's going to no longer be doing... I mean, she may come and do Disney Channel stuff, but she's no longer going to be doing the Disney Channel stuff she was before. But that honestly, when they showed me who it is, that's the only reason I knew who it was, because of her, only because of that show that Caden used to really like to watch.
Yeah, I could see her, like, really getting popular. Maybe not necessarily from this, but, you know, maybe this will springboard her into doing other things. Oh, and I will say I watched GLOW Season 2. And I actually did a pod blast about that. So you can find that on the pop feed. And that was with JT Rosero and Tim Capel.
Yeah, and I was going to be all like, where my invite? I didn't even get to watch season 2 yet. So I can't be like too mad. I'd be like, yo, folks, my friends, my besties just left me. Left me. No, I haven't even watched season 2.
It was just a spur of the moment thing. Like, hey, y'all are recording.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. So, anyway, I think that wraps up all of our TV. What do you think?
I think so.
All right.
You know what? I am looking forward to fall TV, but at the same time, this, like, mindless, like, oh, this looks kind of good, or, oh, this is new, let's just see what I think. Like, I don't know, kind of the, like, go at your own pace, not like, oh my god, it's Tuesday night, oh my god, you know, like, I don't know. I've kind of, much as I hate to say this, I've kind of really enjoyed the, like, relaxed that is summer TV watching.
I would agree with you because I don't, even though I still feel infinitely behind on all of the stuff that I want to watch.
Oh, me too.
It'll just get worse in the fall. Like, it'll just be more pressure to follow along, especially when the CW shows start and you need to feel like you're staying on top of that. And I struggled last year. Like, I did not do well last year staying on top
of that. Honey, I drove that struggle bus.
Yeah.
All the way to that burning volcano in Hawaii, I drove that struggle bus. Like, I still, like, I cannot start Arrow in October till I finish Arrow.
Yeah.
It's that bad.
Yeah. Yeah, you kind of dipped out on Arrow.
I can't help it. I want to be there. I want to be at the table. Because, I mean... He's the man. Like, whoo! But I'm just not there right now.
All right. So, books.
I'll tell a real quick story regarding books, because one of the books I read, I love, love, love so much. You, Bianca, and Susan know that I cry at commercials. I cry at movies, cry at TV shows, sometimes Facebook videos, but I don't cry when I read books. I don't know why, but there's been a couple in my life I have, but I don't cry when I'm reading books. And an author, I've never been sure if I could call her your favorite author. I know you really like her, but one of Bianca and mine's favorite authors wrote a new book called All Your Perfects, which is Colleen Hoover. I cried. Bianca laughed at me. I'm going to tell on her. So her and I went together. We bought tickets. We drove to Atlanta to meet Colleen Hoover on her All Your Perfects tour. We had cute little shirts made that had a thing from a previous book called Without Merit, which is also a fantastic read. We had cute little shirts made, and Bianca made fun of me on the way up there because I was like, dude, I thought, okay, here's what I thought. All right, we're going to go on this trip to Atlanta to this book tour about this brand new book. B's going to have already read it because people might talk about it in the when they ask questions, right? Mm-hmm. So I get in the car, I'm all ready, and she's like, no, I didn't read it. I'm like, Scott! Like, I thought part of our drive was going to be discussing this book. I'm hurted. And I was like, I'll just tell you I cried. And she laughs at me. I'm like, flipped her off.
Yeah, Bianca doesn't cry. So.
Bianca doesn't cry. She is the sweetest, most caring, loving person. She didn't cry at shit.
Mm-mm.
But she doesn't.
Love you, Newsflash,
I made B cry.
No, you did not.
I sure did. Because at the book signing, one like the very last question of the night, a gentleman gets up because a couple of men did come with their spouses or significant others or just because they're, I guess, they're fans too. And one guy's up and said, you know, I just want to tell you what an amazing author you are and the things that you've done for my girlfriend. You are her absolute favorite. I know every lady that stood up tonight has said the same thing. He's like, but really, you've gotten her through a lot of times. And I'm here to support her. And I just want to thank you for doing what you do for her. Mm-hmm. And then he goes, but I have a question for you. And she's like, of course. Sweetest person ever, by the way. Colleen Hoover is amazing. But this man then goes, I want to know how you feel about proposals at your book signings.
Oh.
He got on one knee in the middle because they ended up having to move to a church because there wasn't enough room at the original facility. He gets on one knee in the middle of that aisle. He breaks out the most freaking gorgeous ring I've ever seen in my life. Well, that makes it sound like I don't appreciate mine. I love my ring. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's very different. And that's it's like mine. It's different. Mm-hmm. And it's gorgeous ring. And he gets on one knee and he goes through this spiel and she's crying. I start crying. Everybody's videoing it, taking pictures. Bianca noticed I'm crying, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Hope is like not really crying, but I don't think she's cried. I think she did like, you know, that little smirk that people do when they're like, oh my God, this is so cute.
Mm-hmm.
So Hope has her little, like, smirk. I'm crying. Bianca starts laughing at me so hard, she starts crying.
So.
That's what I'm sticking to.
Welp.
But, yes, the book definitely could be a trigger warning for some people. Colleen Hoover is big on, like, when you read the synopsis, she doesn't like synopsises that tell you about anything. So it's just going to tell you that it's about a couple that the way they meet is because their boyfriend and girlfriend are cheating on each other. Like, it tells you. Like, the very first thing that happens, they meet in the hallway outside her boyfriend's apartment that she's flown back early to surprise him. And his girlfriend, he's there to confront them because his girlfriend is in there, and that's they're cheating together.
Gotcha.
So that's how they meet, and that's how chapter one starts, and then it goes from there, and they're not married. Okay. And it's their, like, life as a married couple, and it deals heavily with infertility. And I won't tell you, I'll tell you it's a later chapter in the book in which I cry, and I cried, like, almost the whole chapter. But there's something that happens, and at that point, and it's like stories-wise, it's different little snippets of things that have happened throughout the years. I lost the shiz. But it is. I don't know if I'd classify her as romance, because even she says she's not sure that she's romance or even like contemporary romance. She just writes what comes to her.
Okay.
So All Your Perfects is a real romance story, if that makes sense.
Okay.
It's like, I don't know. It's just an amazing book. I've never dealt with some of the things that this book talked about in my marriage, but even, I don't know, it just made me feel like it was like a stronger thing, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Really good. Highly recommend. I got through it super quickly. Bianca started it that night when we were going to bed. I was like, okay. And she did. She starts falling half asleep reading, and she rolls over, and she says the main character's name to me, and she goes, "That's a boy's name." And then she rolls over, and she is asleep. She's going to get so mad at me. It's great. So all your perfects, highly recommend. I know she would too. And then what is the other book? Oh, I started rereading a series. By another favorite author of mine, Megan Sienna Deutsch. It is, all of her books have like really, to me at least, everybody's going to be like, that's stupid. All her books have like really cool names. And so like the first one is called Cupcakes, Trinkets, and Other Deadly Magic. Mm-hmm. And then it goes from there and it's like, Trinkets, Treasures, and Other Bloody Magic. But they all have a cupcake on the cover. They all mention several recipes, which she does, like, have. So, it is a, I'll say witch, but that comes to develop later that she's not actually a witch completely. And she has a cupcake shop, and all of these take place in Canada, in Vancouver. Because that's where the author is from. So she's familiar with, and she'll tell you herself, like, her main character in this series has a lot of things that she loves. So the main character also loves a lot of the things that Megan loves because it's easy to relate. And she just loves the character a lot. So she gave her a lot of the things that she likes. Okay. But she has a cupcake shop called Cake in a Cup. And each one is like Lust in a Cup or... trying to think of some of the names of the other. And I know several. But you can get the recipe and make it yourself. Like, it's fantastic.
Have you tried?
I have. I won one of her recipe cards because she has a set of, like, cards. And on the front of the card is the cover of whatever book it came out of. And on the back is, like, the complete recipe. And I got the one, which I wish I knew exactly. I'll post it. Like, I'll show you guys what it looks like. But it's for, like, the banana cup, because, you know, it's, like, my favorite. Mm-hmm. And then just by chance, she was like, hey, I have one card. She said, you know, if you're okay with that's what you won, I'm going to send it. She didn't even say which one it was for, I don't think. And I just happened to win it, and I got it, and I was like, oh, my God, it's a banana one. But,
any good?
Yes. Oh, my God, so good. It's all, like, real, too. Like, you don't use any, there's no box anything.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's
from
great.
Scratch.
Yes. And she's a big baker. And what I love about it is, like, you see all these cupcakes and recipes where the icing is just, like, this perfect, like, dirt, dollopy swirl. Mm-hmm. Hers is not. And it's, like, she took the icing spreader and she just, like, was like, here, it needs this much. I don't know. I love it. Even, I don't know. It's very appealing because it looks like somebody really did was like, I'm a home baker and I made this for you. And
right. That makes sense.
This is what it looks like. Here, I'll show you what it looks like. But yeah, that series is really cool. There's a lot of development, so I don't want to like go too crazy into like, but it's a whole adept universe. So there are vampires right off the bat. Obviously the witch thing is, very prevalent, because like I said, that comes to develop a little bit more and you learn a little bit more. So she's not exactly a witch, but that's where they start with. She also learns more about herself and her magic and what she didn't realize she had magic wise, along the way. And she kind of starts learning about, so she's like 23, 24, and you would think her grandmother is a witch, her mother was a witch, and all these different things that she would already know about this universe, but she actually does. Like, she knows that vampires exist. She knows witches exist. She knows that wards need to be created to keep adept out of your home and out of her business unless she allows them in. But she doesn't really practice, and she doesn't really go beyond that until she learns, like, way more about who she is.
Okay.
They, the audiobook them, they're about 7 hours, so they're pretty quick to get through. There are currently 8.5 of them. because she has a couple novellas, so it's like 8.5 just came out. Number 9 will be out, and then that's it.
Who's the author?
Megan, so it's M-E-G-H-A-N, mm-hmm. Sienna Deutsch.
Okay.
I can share that one, too. And the first one is called... Maybe, I don't know. I have them all pulled up, and I'm like, is that the current first one? Is that the first one? I think the first one, if I'm not mistaken, is this one right here. It would be Cupcakes, Trinkets, and Other, yes. And actually, I found her originally because Amazon was like, you read this, you might like this.
Uh-huh.
And I looked at the title, and I was like, that's fun. Yeah, so Cupcakes, Trinkets, and Other Deadly Magic. And she does have the best cupcakes, she says, are dark chocolate with chocolate cream cheek icing, and that dancing in a crowd of magic wielders, the adept, was better than sex. So she's like, it has some slight sexy times. I'm rereading, so I don't remember. And like, I haven't read 8 or 8.5. So there may be like in-depth sexy times, but for the most part, it's just like a lot of making out and like werewolves being naked and... Well, I mean, that's what they do when they change. So,
right, of yeah. course,
it's a lot. It's a lot of things like that. So, if you're like anti, that's not my thing. Like, maybe still give it a try. Okay. But I'm really, really digging that series. Your Skype's going to be like bing bing over there.
Yeah, it is.
I sent you a picture of Bell. Correct, Rob Bell.
Mm-hmm. All right. You still there?
Can you not hear me?
Ah, there you go.
I was like, I'm here.
Yeah. You must have muted or something.
I don't know. But like you can get a cookbook that has a list of all of this, but like the coveted thing among her followers is those cards, because like she doesn't sell them, she prints them and she like gives them away here and there, so like we covet those little like pretty cards. But I don't know, it's a win-win. I like to bake, I like food, I like to cook. My blood pressure is telling me I probably don't need to eat half of this anymore. But
can't blame me,
right? Yeah, so my next one I want to try is Chill in a Cup. Mm-hmm. It's a mint chocolate cake with a mint chocolate buttercream.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
All of them are buttercream, but like she does like mint chocolate buttercream, vanilla buttercream, blueberry buttercream. Like so many. She just gave us the recipe for that in the May newsletter. So
awesome.
Excited.
What else? You got anything?
Books. I have actually been pouring through books, but I'm not sure. I've started, not finished. The new movie came out, The Darkest Minds.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to read book before I watched the movie, so I got about a little less than a fourth of the book to go.
Who wrote that one?
That one is... Let me see. Laying right here. Hang on. Alexandra Bracken. And I'd never read anything from her before. Apparently, there are multiple books in this series. I don't know how many there are. 2, maybe 3?
Uh-huh.
It's not post-apocalyptic, but in a lot of ways it is. Because there's a lot of abandoned areas. It starts with her on her 10th birthday. You very quickly move from her being 10 to 16. So it could very much be considered YA possibly.
Yeah, that's the kind of feel I got from the
right,
movie trailer.
Yeah. It's YA-ish. I mean, if you watched like The Host and Divergent, yeah, it kind of falls in there as far as range. But kids, when she's 10, they all start, like, there's kids in her class that start getting sick or dying.
Right, yeah.
And that, what scares the parents is not the kids that have died. Apparently, the problem is the kids that have lived through this disease that has killed all these children. Because that means there's something wrong with them, mm-hmm. like where they think the wrong with them. So they send them, the government has all these rehabilitation camps that sound like a freaking nightmare. And in those camps, they figure out what you are. They label you by a color. And essentially, this entire book is she's been, and this happens pretty quickly, and I think it's even in the synopsis, like, she is now essentially on the run from the camp. Like, no one, or what she thinks, from what she thinks and knows, no one has ever escaped in a camp. And someone on the inside helps her, and I'll let you decide if that person is good or bad.
Okay.
Helps her escape and gets to a certain point in which she's now running. And she's figuring things out, and she's learning things, and she's piecing things together. And there are parts of the world that are just like abandoned. There are abandoned houses, and there are, so in some ways it's post-apocalyptic. They talk about a lot of, music from the 70s and 80s where the kids know them. 'Cause like the parents, their parents played it before they got taken to these camps and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, so there's like still, there's still radios and radio towers and, but I'm not exactly sure what year period-ish this is supposed to be.
Okay.
I'd say future, but not like way distant future.
Near future.
Right. 'Cause it's still like cell phones and they still have radio towers and they're still like, yeah.
Okay.
That's what I'm getting from it.
Awesome.
It's pretty good so far, though, I will say.
Good. All right. Is that all?
Yeah, I think we're good.
I'm not for sure if you've read the one that I wanted, one of the ones I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
Of course, it's an audiobook. It is called The Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society.
I have not, but I really want to, so I'd really love to hear what you think about it.
Okay, I won't spoil anything. And this is not my typical read, but I saw that it was made into a movie on Netflix, and it has Lily Allen in it, and I adore her. And so I saw a lot of good reviews about the book, so...
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, let me try this. And I do enjoy any type of, like, World War II stories.
Yes.
And this is set right after the Second World War. And it is about a writer named Juliet who wrote stuff during the war and got kind of famous for it. And she is on a book tour, and she's kind of looking for another book to do, another project to do, and she stumbles across the story of the Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society. And I'm trying to, like, not give it all away.
It's okay. If you want to spoil some things, because you have to. Like, you know, I'm still going to read it, and I'm still going to watch it.
It is, the author is Mary Ann Schaefer.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this a series or a standalone? That's the only thing I wasn't sure about.
It's a standalone, for sure.
It's a standalone. Okay.
It has to be. And it's written, it's not, it's written in all correspondence. So it's not a story. It's all a series of letters. So you get the story in letters. So it's Juliet to her editor, Juliet to her best friend, Juliet to the people in Guernsey. So how she meets the people in Guernsey, this won't be giving it away too much. But she...
Well, no, that was in the preview, so you can say that.
She gets a letter from somebody who ends up with one of her books. So he has her book, and it has her name and address in it. So he writes her a letter, and that's how their correspondence starts. And so he starts telling her about on Guernsey, which is on an island off the coast of England. And so they were kind of isolated during the war.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were occupied by German soldiers. And so during the whole occupation, they didn't get any news. They didn't get hardly any, like,
radio transmissions, like, because all the radios were banned and stuff, so they were literally just on an island with just themselves. So some of the citizens started the book club, basically, and so they get, you know, caught up in each other's lives and stuff like that. So she meets them, she goes to Guernsey, she finds a story that she wants to write about, and so on and so forth. I won't spoil anything other than that, but to say that it was very touching, especially all the war parts, because that's kind of the parts that I like. She, of course, there's a love story there. I did not...
There are kind of multiple love stories from what I'm understanding.
Yes, but the other one is told kind of third person.
Okay.
But it is still very well done. At the love story part, it made me wish that it wasn't written like correspondence, because I wanted to just, like, I wanted to know, like, his side of the story, because,
right,
you know, you just get Juliet talking in first person, and then his side you don't get, I mean, you get letters from him, but it's just not... I mean, it's a nice kind of gentle, like, proper English romance, if that makes sense. You know, it's,
okay.
And then so, like, the part of me who wants to know more, you know, is, like, shit out of luck, basically. So, anyway, but it's a very, very good story. A good listen. The narrator was pretty good. Not the best ever, but fairly good.
I did listen to the snippet of the narrator before I added it to my library, just to make sure, because, yeah, sometimes I just can't do narrators.
It's about an eight-hour listen, so not too bad.
It's about average. 7 to 8 hours is about average.
All right. I definitely...
Did you watch the movie?
I watched almost all of the movie. I have not finished the movie yet. But Lily Allen is amazing.
But do you get, okay, so the satisfaction that you, obviously a book and a movie are always a little bit different. Mm-hmm. The satisfaction that you did not get from the book that you wish was there, do you get it in the movie?
I haven't gotten it yet, no.
Oh.
And also they had to change a lot of things from the book to the movie just because, like I said, the format of it being in letters.
Right.
So they cut out a lot of the stuff from the book, but... The way that they rework it makes sense.
Gotcha.
To
okay.
the story. So it's not offensive, the way that they changed the story for the movie. So check that out. The other one is something different. It is a book called The Cabin. Nope, it's called A Head Full of Ghosts.
Okay.
Paul Tremblay, Tremblay.
Look it up.
And this one fully swerved me at the end. I was like, oh,
what?
My freaking God. Because at first you're not for sure, like, is this horror? Is this psychological? Is this a domestic thing? Like, I don't, like, you're, can't really get a handle on it. But and it's also told very differently because it's... part of it is like blog entries. So the girl is like reviewing this reality show from a couple of years, probably like 10 years ago.
What's the name of it again?
A Head Full of Ghosts.
A Head Full of Ghosts. Okay. He has one called The Cabin at the End of the World.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
I started that. I'm not done with that one yet.
Okay. Okay.
So the girl, you're getting it as like a blog post talking about this TV show. And then it's cut in with a writer interviewing the subject of that TV show. So,
okay.
Or the sister of the subject. So she was, the main character was the sister of the main subject in the reality show who was allegedly possessed by a demon. And that was the point of the TV show.
Okay. Run that by me again.
So
the subject is the sister of the blog owner.
Yes.
And the subject allegedly was possessed by a demon, and that's why she's on the show.
Yes.
Okay.
So it was...
Sorry.
Yeah. So the mom and dad are having major financial issues, and then they have these two daughters. One's an older teenager, one's like 9. And the older teenager starts like acting out, having all these problems. She's a real fucking piece of work, and she, you don't know, even at the end, you're still kind of like, was she possessed or was she crazy? That's basically like the point of the book is, are you going to believe that she was possessed, or are you going to believe that she made it all up and that she's crazy?
So do they ever officially, I mean, without giving away, do they ever actually tell you, or are we still sitting there going like, I just don't fucking know?
Like I said, the end totally swerved me. So okay. By the time I had figured it out, they fucked me all up again. So
shit.
It was very, like, it haunted me for like 3 days.
Sounds like the one that I told you about where I was like, I did not. No, like, I remember the one that I told you, like, and it was graphic. They talk about flaying bodies. Oh, my goodness. That's how that one did to me. I was, like, so pissed off, and, like, my mind was pissed and horrified for, like, 3 days.
Yeah.
That I, like, didn't get it right. Now, did you, at one point throughout the book, think that that's what the ending was going to be? And then no. Go, no, I'm wrong. No. So you never, no. Like, never. No. Oh.
Because they set you up in a certain way, and then they just fuck it all up.
Huh.
Yeah. But it was, because okay, I listened to books a lot of times when I, like, grocery shop. So I was in Walmart when I was listening to the ending, and I'm just, like, increasingly getting, like, what the fuck is happening? And, like, just totally distracted from my shopping. Like, just standing in the aisle, just, like, just leaning against my blanket, listening to it. And then, oh gosh, it was rough. But, yeah, I like this book. Like I said, it's the narration. I did not enjoy the narrator that much because she would use this really stupid, like, male voice for the male characters, and it just sounded really awkward. She would just try to sound like a dude or whatever, and then
gotcha.
When she would do the voice for the younger girl, it would get like just like annoyingly.
Joy Osmansky, it says is her name.
Yeah, I didn't like it very much as far as that goes, but read it.
Now, is this, I'm looking at these, the other two, there's The Cabin at the End of the World and Disappearance at Devil's Rock. Are they part of a series? Like, are these all three?
No, I feel like they're standalones. I know that first one has to be a standalone. And,
hey, that book you just finished, it must have been really well because it won a Bram Stoker.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I liked it a lot. And then The Cabin at the End of the World, I'm not that far into, but it's already pretty intriguing, but in a totally different way.
Okay.
So hopefully a review on that will be coming soon.
I'm just going to go ahead and add all three of these to my little list here.
Yeah.
I will say I'm a huge Audible fan because that's what you use as well,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Huge, huge Audible fan. But I've got one I want you to look up. I don't know. Obviously, I'm iPhone, so I don't know if it's like an Apple-only thing. I would assume not, because, no, it looks like you can get it on Google Play. It is called HiBooks, and it's $9.99 a month. I have no limit to what I can get from them. Like, there's no credits like there is with Audible.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at first, I was looking at this and going, do I rationalize another subscription because I pay for Audible, and then I get the Audible Romance Package. So I pay, like, $24 for Audible. But the Audible Romance Package, I can have 10 romance books out at a time, and then with Audible, I don't know what plan you get, but I get 2 credits every month.
Mm-hmm.
To buy more if I want them.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of books that I'm like, hey, I want to find this, and it's not on high. Like, there's things that they're not on high books, or they're free on the Romance Package.
Mm-hmm.
But it's $10 a month. We poured through. Caden and I have been reading, I think I talked about this before, we listened to one on the way to your house, and then one on the way home, because they're shorter books, they're like 3 hours, the new Nancy Drew.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So he and I are doing those, and they're on HiBooks, but like I said, it's $10 a month, I can put it on his iPod too, and you just download till your heart's content. You listen to your heart's content. There is no amount that you can or cannot have in there. You just, and when it first started, it was like, we have podcasts and books. But I guess they realized, like, there's no need for them to host podcasts.
Right.
So they're strictly books now. It's searching in, like, by category, I don't recommend. There are some pitfalls. I would not recommend, for example, like this one I just randomly tapped. I tapped on education, and I'm like, okay. But if you search by name or by author, it works a lot better. I've tried to search by, my brain just went dead. I've tried to search by narrator a couple of times because, you know, I have favorite narrators. And I've noticed sometimes it works. And sometimes it does not. But I thought for $10 a month, the fact that you can, like, just go crazy.
Right, yeah.
It's pretty good. Like, all three of these Paul Tremblay books are on there. I just looked. So
cool. Awesome.
Just, I wouldn't gut plug that, but I was like, wait, all might three well, of these yeah. are on there.
Yeah, for real.
I don't think there's any sort of kickback. I don't know. If there's some, if I look up and there's some cool code where, like, your friend gets a first month free or something. Like, then I'll share it, because, I mean, who doesn't want a first month of all kinds of... I mean, hell, you could, like, listen to every audiobook you could squeeze into a month and be like, and cancel.
Mm-hmm.
They probably wouldn't mind me saying that, but, I mean, they're not asking me to say that. I'm just saying that, so... But, yeah, it's, like, $9.99 a month, and, like I said, no limit. And, like, mine just comes through my iTunes account. So I've been, like, buying an iTunes card at the beginning of the month because I know what my subscriptions are, and I put it on there, and then it just doesn't even come out of my checking account. It comes out on my iTunes funds. But, yeah, I would check that out.
All right. So the only thing we got left here is downloads. Do you have anything to share for downloads?
I feel like I keep, like, knocking you guys in the head with heaving puzzles. So I won't delve too much. What I will say is not most recent episode, because that would be today's episode. They launch on Monday. They have a set date that they usually air. But the two previous Mondays before, this book actually had to get broken down into part one and part two, which they did for a while, and then they're trying not to. They're like us. They get to talking, and they're like, oh, fuck! We haven't been recording for 2 hours! So it's part one and part two, and the reason I want to briefly mention it is because, one, I'm super proud of them. They're already on, like, episode 40-something because they just, like, pumping them out over there.
Wow.
But I got super excited because on these two episodes, they, Jesus Christ, iTunes hates me right now. There we go. Try to pull it up so I can give you the exact. So it's going to be episode. I hear you guys laughing at me. I would... Anyway, 45 and 46 from them. How to Flirt with a Naked Werewolf by Molly Harper.
Nice.
Obviously, they review the full book. They go through a full book. So if you don't want to know about the book, then you don't need to listen. They review the whole book. And Miranda got so freaking excited because they took requests. So if you wrote them a 5-star review, which I more than willingly gave them a 5-star review, they did not have to bribe me to give them a 5-star review. You got to tell them a couple of books, or you got to be like, hey, here's a book I really, really want you to read, or here's a few that are my favorite and you can kind of pick. And I had tweeted them and said, took me forever, but I think I know what you want to, I want you to read. And I said, pretty much anything by Molly Harper. Mm-hmm. And because they're really afraid, they don't know, like, who would be okay with being mentioned and who won't. So, like, they do mention one of their fans in that episode as well. Leanne, who, funny story, her and I have become online friends. It's great. but they're like, yeah, we're reading this one because it's Aaron's favorite book, which is one of the co-hosts. It's Aaron's favorite book, but our Twitter fan gave it to us to read as a 5-star review. It's me!
Aw, that's awesome.
I'm so excited. Like, they read the book. And Molly Harper is one that I talked about. She's the one that, remember, I got, like, all excited and couldn't talk when I met her at, because she's also from Kentucky, and mm-hmm. she writes paranormal romance. Oh my God, she's great. Anyway, yeah, so that's why I'm like gonna shove this down your mouth holes one more time, or in your ear holes one more time.
Say, what are you shoving in my mouth?
Well, most people say I'm gonna shove that down your throat. You know, I'm gonna make you like it.
Hot.
So hot, right? So I thought I'd be nicer and say I'd shove it in your ear holes.
Yeah, that's way nicer.
That's way nicer. Anyway, I won't use a thumb. Inside joke. Yeah, but if you like, if you haven't listened to them yet and you plan to, or you just want to go listen to them talk about one of my favorite books because I asked them to read it, and it happens to also be Erin's favorite book, then go listen.
All right. Check those girls out. And then, I think this is kind of, well, whatever. We'll call it a plug or a download, whatever you want to call it. But I want to talk about the Hard Traveling Fanboys and their comics draft. So they have a biannual fuck shit junk comics draft. So it should be episode number 124. It should be out by the time this is out. And so it's basically just a bunch of dummies doing the nerdiest thing ever and drafting comic book creators, writers, artists, and characters. And then these same dummies have to come up with pitches using their draft picks.
I've always loved when they do this. Like, I really do.
Yeah, it was, they asked me to do it, so I was one of the noobs this year. There's another noob. And then, you got Russell Sellers, you got Todd Weber, you got Tim Capel, and then, of course, you have Greg and Nick. But it was a lot of fun, and Nick put a bunch of stupid-ass rules in there that ended up screwing me over. But anyway,
I truly don't know if I could do that one. There's like so much, like,
it was, yeah, it was pretty intense, which once you get done with the draft, you're like, shit, I have to write stuff for this now. So, anyway, check out the draft episode. It was, it's very unique. You will not hear anything like it. I'll tell you that right now. And
it's fun. It's lots of fun.
It is fun. And then, all the other awesome shows on Place to Be Nation Pop. You know, like Songs with Friends and Sunday Groove. Mm-hmm. And I think Russell has a new show that might be started by now.
I haven't listened. I apologize, Russell. I plan to.
It's called DC Crisis Management.
I'd like to dig the name.
So I think that's correct.
Which our friend from DC.
Post-crisis management? That might be right. I don't know.
Whatever his crisis is,
yes.
Should be joining us soon.
Yes, Russell will
not
be.
Not today, but not soon.
Yeah, he will be a guest soon. And then he will plug his new show.
Yeah, he can tell. We'll give him time to, like, just gush all about.
Right. Conversation Comics.
Yes.
What else? What else is on this feed?
Well, I'm Talking Pop.
Talking Pop, of course.
Did you even can't mention that. Yourself?
Well, you mentioned myself.
I mentioned yourself. There's really cool little pod blasts and stuff, too. Like, mm-hmm. individual little pod blasts. They're only, like, 30, 45 minutes long. I think 45 minutes has been about the longest one. Like Jenny mentioned earlier, the Glow pod pod blast. There's even, if you're a sports fan, there's, like, NBA team podcasts. I wish, for the life of me, I could remember who does that one. I feel really shitty right now.
I think it's Andrew Reich.
Okay. You are way better than I am. Woohoo!
And also, I think they're doing college football pod blasts this year, too.
They usually do. Mm-hmm. Now, that one, I wouldn't mind getting on. Whoever you are, I know you hear me. I'll go rant about some college football.
You should do that. You should definitely.
I'm good at ranting about college. Do we still have the one about shots or beer or something?
Top beer? No, I don't think top they beer? Make.
Not found. I mean, but it's still available.
Right. Yes, you can look in the archives, mm-hmm. And of course you have Marvel Age and
Marvel Age, yes.
Marvel Age Masterclass. Can't miss that one. The Glenn Butler podcast hour spectacular. Of course.
And if you're a wrestling fan, which it's not telling on her because I think she's cool with it. Obviously, she's cool with it. Jenny has become quite the little wrestling fan.
Well, I do enjoy it, yes.
And so, Place TV Nation actually began as a wrestling feed. So there's Place TV Nation, Place TV Nation Pop. And Place TV Nation has a... Say it for me, Jenny.
A veritable heaven.
Yeah. A plethora of amazing wrestling podcasts. And if it were not for all of those amazing wrestling podcasts starting and creating Place to Be Nation, all of the ones that we just mentioned on Place to Be Nation Pop would not have ever happened. So, you dig any sort of part of wrestling, I recommend them. Like, I've listened to a few because there are, I was like into it when I was younger, dropped out of it for a long time, came back when Jenny's favorite person, hence mm-hmm. my sarcasm. Mm-hmm. Jenny's favorite person. One of my favorite people. Mm-hmm. Him pretty. but I came back for, like, I was all up in the rock. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I may have touched him a few times, and yuck. It was great. I claimed I was never washing my hand, and then logistically I realized, like, you gotta wash your hand. So.
Gross.
Jimmy would have been like, let me vomit on it for ya. Oh. Anyway. And then I left again for a really long time. And my kid, who's not really into wrestling, is like obsessed with John Cena. And he looks at me and goes, Mom, what would John Cena do? And I'm like, I don't know, Caden. What would he do?
That must be an internet thing because Ethan does the same thing. Although he has been watching it with me.
Caden will watch John, like on YouTube, he will watch like John Cena's matches and different things. And he's watched a lot. So, side note, John Cena is, like, an amazing giver as far as, like, giving back and donating and, like, he's all about kids. Like, he apparently goes to, like, he has granted, forget the statistics on this, I'd be glad to pull it up, but I was reading an article about how John Cena has granted the most, he's granted the most Make-A-Wish ever. He's done, 500 Make-A-Wish requests, I believe.
Wow, that's amazing.
I know. To me, that just says something about a person. Like, even if he's not a good wrestler. Like, you know? Like, I don't know. But, I don't know. I was looking at what all he does out of the ring.
Right.
For terminal patients. Terminal children. I don't know. Caden watches a lot of that. And so, like, he even says it. Like, I'll get all pissy about something. I'll be in, like, a bad mood. And Caden will be like, Mom, what would John Cena do? And I'm like, hefty, hefty, hefty. I don't know. But my kid is obsessed with John Cena. So, like, but yeah. If it weren't for that set of, that niche of interest, mm-hmm. creating Place to Be Nation, or making Place to Be Nation a thing, and then Pop trickling down from that, and then the boys, mm-hmm. we wouldn't be here to celebrate.
Right. And so after the break, we will have something a little different for you. So stick around and we'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the Pro Wrestling Only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Mm-hmm. Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, along with Main Event, Survey Says, the Monday Night Wars, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, as well as Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver special network podcasts and pod blasts on topics old and new.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Match of the Week podcasts, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Through the Years, Worldcast, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story, and Mount Olympus. Plus, the feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Center Stage, and Letters from Kayfabe, plus much more. And on our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as Talking Pop, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, NBA Team, PTBN Play, Sunday Groove, Breaking Balls, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the hard-traveling fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversations, Geek and Sassy, and Marvel Age Podcasts.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our past podcasts, including the Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback today. All these shows, plus others, available at PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hi there. Have you recently gone through a crisis? Did you find out your friends have been lying to you for years to cover up something they did? Have you discovered that one of your bitter enemies might actually be three people? Were you seemingly killed by a new god only to find yourself quantum leaping through time until you make it back to the present? Was your entire reality wiped out in a cosmic battle between two godlike beings only to be reborn, destroyed, and reborn again? Then join me, Russell Sellers, and my special guest as we help you manage your post-crisis life in DC Post-Crisis Management, a limited monthly series starting in September. We can't promise you closure, but we will try to avoid destroying your hometown and turning you into a homicidal maniac who wipes out time.
Geek and Sassy, Jenny and Miranda, back with you. This time we're going to do something a little different, something that we've never done before. We just reached our two-year anniversary or birthday. What do we want to call it?
I don't know, because I think on one of the social medias I said anniversary, and I think on the other one I was like, it's our birthday. So both?
Both. It's our birthday-versary.
Birthiversary!
Yay! So we recently celebrated 2 years of being geeky and sassy together. So we wanted to talk a little bit about how we feel about the podcast so far. And the rest of the show will just be just kind of us freestyling and then a little treat for you at the end to review some of our favorite moments from the podcast. I'll let you go first. What are your thoughts on this 2 year birthiversary?
Our birthiversary. I have truly enjoyed it. I know we hit times where, you know, some people in the podcasting world may be like, well, they're not consistent. But you know what? Life happens. And I think that's what I love and adore most about our show is that we don't lose listeners. And Ginny can get sick, or my kid can get sick, or your kid can get sick, and we have to take a little hiatus. And we come back, and everybody's just, like, still here and still eager to get the next episode. And I think, didn't we take at one point, it was like a 2.5 month break once?
Yeah, last summer was rough.
Oh, last summer was super rough. But even then, I don't know. I think that's one of the things I love about this the most. I hate having to take the breaks because I truly enjoy my time with you and our discussions, you know, our differences, our likes, all of those things. And we come here and we have one place to kind of talk about it, even though we talk about it like every day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I find this overwhelming, like, sense of happiness when I see that we had to take a break, but people are still there. Even if we we take a break, but we're still, like, posting on social media, and they're still responding. Like, they're not leaving us. Because I hear that, you know. I've made some other friends in the podcasting world since starting this venture, and I've heard too often people are like, well, you know, my kid got sick and I couldn't record for 3 months and my listener numbers, they have just like plummeted and I don't know what to do. And part of me doesn't know how to sympathize with that.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't. And I'm truly thankful for that. And I appreciate my time with you as well, because I enjoy that even as best friends, you know, doing something like this could often, you know, I've seen friendships like fall apart because of things like this.
Mm-hmm.
In one of the podcasting groups I'm in, actually, best friends started a podcast 5 years ago, and now they can't stand each other.
Oh.
And they're no longer podcasting together, and that breaks my heart, because I feel like a lot of ways, even when we have differences, it's brought us, like, closer together. And I especially love it, because now that you don't live, like, 25 minutes away from me, this is our time.
Mm-hmm.
To, like, be able to make sure that we are still having time for each other and still making our friendship important, like, still putting it, like, you know, still making it an importance in each other's life, that we're, you know, being a part of each other's lives.
Right. It's like, you know, as difficult as it is, sometimes we do eventually, you know, feel that, not obligation, but, like, commitment and, like, desire to still want to do it.
Right.
And so, like I said, it's been important to me because I felt, I think you would understand this, but I felt very isolated a lot, being mm-hmm. a stay-at-home mom. And
yes.
A lot of what you, like, how you interact with people is online. And when I finally started branching out into that, I found my people, you know, and that's,
you did.
And honestly, like, even today, I was just thinking, like, what would it be like if there wasn't, like, Facebook, or, like, if I wasn't a podcaster? How would I spend my time? Like, you know, I just can't imagine it. I can't imagine my life without this.
Me neither.
And because it's so important to me, and mm-hmm. even though it's just, you know, I'm not going to say it's silly, but, like, it's slightly frivolous. I mean, today I called it, like, my career that I don't get paid for. You know, like, the time and effort I put into it and the love that I have for it and, like, not getting paid for it, but I still want to do it. And I think it's hard for some people to understand how much it helps me feel connected to people when physically I'm in a place where I don't know anybody here.
Right.
And this is how I have those connections with people, is one of the ways that I do.
Oh yeah.
So it's just super important to me. And I'm one of those people that I don't feel like I do many things very well. And I'm not saying that I do this very well, but I'm saying there are people who have given me positive feedback about this. And I feel like it's something I can do well. And
mm-hmm.
that's rare. For me, that's not something that I come across a lot.
Well, and I'll say, like, you're not a person that's afraid. Like, you're not, You're not one of those people that, like, won't talk to people in public or, like, won't make friends. But I do think it's also really cool because I've watched you, like, grow as a, not like you weren't growing as a person, but you, like, everybody's going to be like, what are you saying? Jenny wasn't. Jenny was fantastic before, but she's, like, found new interests. She's found new hobbies and, like, you are not afraid to, like, discuss your opinion, whereas maybe before you're not as apt to,
Right.
That make sense?
It's true, because you don't have...
Yeah, like, you have, like, I love it.
You don't have a platform, you don't have, like, a way to reach out, even though you really want to. Like, you feel like you have something that you can share with somebody, even if it's, you know, quote-unquote stupid or whatever. It's like, it doesn't mean much in the grand scheme of things, but also... You know, it has that that way of that doorway to connect with somebody, and so you know, it all sounds very self-important or whatever. But I'm just saying, it means a lot to me, and I am so glad that we finally did it. And I hope that we can do things a little bit more orderly. But I always say that, and it never works out that way. So maybe that's just what it's meant to be. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's meant to be that thing that you want to do. Like, you want to make the time to do and not feel like it's just another stupid thing you have to get done with.
Well, thanks. For listeners, anytime we have had to cancel recording or cancel time together, it has never, ever been because the other one of us didn't want to do it.
Right.
It's always been like, Jenny has strep throat. She can't talk. Mary has strep throat. She can't talk. Because, by the way, guys, we both get strep throat like a couple times a year. my kid's throwing up everywhere. Can't handle that right now. My internet's out, which is just happens a lot in Southern Alabama, Northern Florida. Like, I don't know why. We're in the no internet part of the country, but it's always been because it was something out of our control. Like, it's not ever been, oh, I know for you because you told me that, but for me, like, I'm telling you, like, it's not ever been because I'm like, oh, I don't want to do this tonight. It's always like, now there have been times where I'm like, man, I'm really tired, and so we get going, and then I'm fine, but it's never been because I just didn't want to do it.
So with all of that gushing aside, we've kind of went through our, 25 episodes to this point, and picked out a few of our favorite moments.
Hard.
And we tasked the wonderful manager, Todd Weber, with putting together this little clip show. So, not sure. I haven't heard it as of yet. So, I'm not sure what all is going to put. Knowing Todd, there will be surprises that we did not anticipate. And he will probably add something in there that we didn't pick. But that's okay. But I hope you enjoy it. And I hope you stick around with Geek and Sassy. And I also kind of wanted to, like, do a little, like, general, like, thank you to, I think, our podcasting, what do you want to call them, like, mentors? The Hard Traveling Fanboys, because, you know, we learned a lot from them, I think, and they helped us get into Place to Be Nation, which is very, very important to us.
Yes.
And so I, you know, thank you to Greg and Nick because they put out an amazing show every week and they have inspired us, as corny as that might sound. And
no, I don't think it's corny at all.
They did. I think they definitely did. Seeing their chemistry and the way that they put together a really nice show, I think it just really inspired us to do the same. And I hope that is something that they would be proud of, you know. Hopefully. Yeah.
And, you know, they're the reason we're here, but Brad took a chance on us.
Yep.
Because we recorded our first episode, and if you guys knew how bad we were, like, shaking and nervous and, like, texting each other throughout going, oh my God, I bet I sound horrible. I bet I'm shrill. I bet this is really bad. And then we sent it to him, not thinking, we sent it to him as kind of like an audition. We got a message back. They were like, oh, you're up, you're launched. And we're like, what? what? So, you know, thank you to Greg and Nick for pushing us, and, you know, Russell for pushing us, and but Greg and Nick, you know, for like advocating for us so hard, and Brad taking a chance on us. Because without them, like, I don't feel like we'd be here. Right. And I feel like we're very, very lucky, because I hear all too often people starting podcasts on their own, and not, they don't have a platform to back them already. They don't have the things that we just were very fortunate to be given immediately off the bat. And I don't know where we would be if we didn't have those things and those people.
I agree. So thanks again. And thank you for 2 years, and keep listening to us, please. So we will keep trying to make it better. And enjoy the clip show.
And to think of a way to get started. Start a muffin train of thought just departed. Piece of mascara on my breast. Let me get this off your chest. Open my mouth out the chest.
Greetings and salutations. Welcome to Geek and Sassy. I am Jennifer Smith, and I'm here with my friend Miranda. Say hi, Miranda.
Hi.
We decided to start a geek podcast along with a bunch of our friends, kind of following their footsteps. You know, we wanted to talk about geek stuff, girly stuff, fun stuff, crazy stuff, all the stuffs.
All the stuffs, yeah. Like that.
So we named ourselves Geek and Sassy. I guess it's to be determined if one of us is going to claim one of those names.
And they had a two-part, so it took two episodes for them. They had a two-parter, and they did top five live-action comic book shows, and then they did the bottom five worst live-action comic book shows.
Mm-hmm.
And they have decided, which you know, they have a nice little hashtag. I can't say it, so you're going to have to tell everybody what their hashtag is, because it breaks my heart to say it.
Well, the hashtag, I think, originated on Hard Traveling Fanboys.
Oh, it may have, but they have carried it over and took it, like, above and beyond.
Yes. And now, on a third podcast, we can say hashtag Gotham Sucks.
I will not be saying that hashtag. Uh-huh. I will be, no. I will not, because that's my elephant in the room. And I don't mean elephant like all you Alabama fans out there. I mean, like, giant elephant that just sat on my heart and crushed it. And this was the first time that Caden came to me and was genuinely, like, you could see it in his face and in his eyes that he was, like, this scared the crap out of him. And for those of you that are like, what was the video? Because I can hear everybody doing that. Brief, it was Peppa Pig, but it was still, like, Peppa Pig, like, kids show. But they had her turned her into where somebody in an alley walks up to her and he opens up his coat like he's trying to flash her, but he's not. He sells her bacon.
Oh,
takes the bacon, and guys, she's a pig. So then she goes home and her parents find her in her room with it's basically like a vegetable peeler, and she's running it against her arm, getting off the strips of it comes off as strips of bacon.
Oh my God.
It's extremely disturbing. Like, I was even kind of like, and you remember, I grew up on a farm. We took pigs. Like, I know how that is all done. But this was, like, disturbing on a level of, like, why would you use a kid's show to...
Wow, I think I'm traumatized by that right now.
She's attacking her whole family because they take the thing away from her. Yeah, well, no, they take the thing away from her. Explain to her, like, no, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. You know, like, that's your cannibalism, like, blah. And then she, like, can't go without it, so she kills her family to get the bacon, like, to eat them. And I'm like, oh my God! Like, he was like, I'm like, I'm telling you, I couldn't, it's funny as an adult, it really is, but then as a child, he was like devastated, and I was like, oh, I'm about to throw some bows, like,
I literally have no response to this at all, except for, I'm hungry for bacon now. We have friends who have podcasts here on Place to Be Nation Pop, The the boys at Hard Traveling Fanboys and the boys at Sellers Points and
our boys.
And, you know, they're very sweet in mentioning Geek and Sassy and most of their podcasts, telling people to listen to us. So I thought I'd give them a plug. And then I listened to Conversation Comics with Todd Weber, and he said that we get away with a lot of stuff on our podcast.
What was it he said? He said we got away with more than his wife would allow him to, or something
like that. Really unsure what he meant by that comment.
I am too. Todd, I need you to tweet me and tell me what you mean by that. But I will say, we wait until our husband and our children are in bed to record this podcast.
So we can say whatever we want.
Yeah, we can. Mm-hmm. And also, my husband doesn't listen to us.
Yeah, mine doesn't either.
I tell him, I'm like, so Jenny and I, and he goes, okay, honey. Mm-hmm. And my husband is really geeky. Like, Jenny can attest to that. But he just, like... He reads. He loves to read, and he watches live sports, and he plays Warcraft and works.
And he has to listen to you jabber on enough in his life. So,
yeah.
You
know. Okay, so here's the thing that you need to understand about me and Jenny. We do all the talking, and our husbands just kind of sit there and go, mm-hmm. Yes, honey. Mm-hmm.
This mm-hmm. is true. Yes. Mm-hmm. Extremely accurate.
Not only because we talk a lot, but because that's just their natural personalities for mm-hmm. the both of them, mm-hmm. that they... You know, that's just how they are.
So they're not going to take any extra time to listen to us.
But talking.
Right.
It's not that we're bad. It's just, I mean, seriously, do you want to continue to listen to your wife talk for 2.5 hours after you just went to your room to get away from her for 2.5 hours? I don't blame him. It doesn't make me angry. It doesn't one bit.
I will preface all of this with a little possibly boring, possibly funny story.
All right.
And that is, you know, sometimes little kids have trouble saying different letters, or they'll say it wrong. When I was a little kid...
It's usually the T.
Right. Well, mine was R, okay? I had to have speech therapy when I was in, like, elementary school for my R's. And one of the characters' names on Gilmore Girls is... Rory. And I have a really hard time saying Rory. And
it is an odd Rory. See?
Rory.
I'm going to do it too. Like, it's an. Way the vowels and everything, like, yeah. The way everything's put together there, the consonant and the vowels, it's just an. It's a cute name. It's just odd to say.
It's very difficult for me to say. And I'm glad I'm not the only one. So. I didn't realize this until today when I was in my house thinking about what I was going to say about Gilmore Girls. I'm like, I'm going to have to say Rory out loud a bunch of times into a recording. Yeah. And then I just giggled for like the rest of the day because I have such a hard time saying that. So, you know, it might come out woolly at some point. Who knows?
It's okay. Benedict Cumber, what all have I said? Charlotte. Oh, yeah, no, I call it Cumberbatch, but I call it Charlotte. Like, I've made all kinds of new words. I think it's about time that you give us something.
I might call her Roro or something. I don't know, but anyway. Bethelise Berry and Iris get to kiss a lot now.
Yeah, but I'll have to say, like, we know, obviously, that they live together and things are happening, and I'm not a prude. You guys know that by, like... leaps and bounds now, but I don't know. Their relationship has always been so sweet and innocent that I really didn't like that line he used on her at the end where she's talking about going to bed or whatever, and he's like, well, that or how late they would be up. I don't remember what she said.
Yeah.
He goes, well, that all depends on you. And I was like, oh.
I'm sorry.
I was like,
that's as suave as Barry gets, I think.
And I know, but at the same time, I was like, this is.
Well, they showed them in bed together numerous times.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know that they obviously have adult times, but, you know, or sexy times, whatever you want to call it, because they live together. They've shown them in the bed together. But, like, it's always so sweet and innocent. Like, a lot of times they kiss on the cheek as they're passing each other, and they hold hands. Like, it's one of those, like, sweet little
relationships. And then Barry's like, that all depends on you. And I'm like, oh, well, I don't know about that, Barry.
So they're just not one of those couples that you feel like is all that sexy. You mostly think of them as just sweet and cute and...
Right. I guess I don't see them as like the hot damn.
Which is terrible because, oh my God.
I know.
She's super hot.
You have a thing for her and like, oh, he's pretty.
Yeah, he is. He really is.
But now with Kara and Ronell were like making out on the couch, I was like, yeah. Like, I don't know why, but I don't see that. I don't feel that way with her. I just don't know why.
I do understand your point. I do.
But I love the whole, like, when they're holding hands and when they're kissing. You know, I used to, like, despise them trying to put them together. And then when they finally did, I was like, I think I like this. Oh, that's a sweet kiss. Like, I like this.
But you prefer their things to be kind of implied instead of, like, hot making out on the couch.
Yes.
Okay. Well.
But Monty and Carl make out all day long.
Yeah, they can.
Satisfy me. So apparently, Jenny and I, in our everyday vernacular, I guess that's the word you would use, for those of you that know us, we don't do the like this, like that for myself, or a lot with herself. Like, we don't. So we truly apologize and don't know why we do it so much when we're recording. But my nephews and all their 20-something-year-old glory in college thought it was hysterical. Because at first I was really excited because, like, hey, they listened to their Aunt Miranda. This is freaking awesome. Well, they listened to me, yes, but they've turned Jenny and I into a drinking game.
Oh, Lord.
Every time I say like, or every time Jenny says, they take a drink.
Consequently, they have not made it through a single podcast.
They have not made it through complete podcasts without going back and listening.
Yes, because they are, like, passed out
probably
by that point.
Well, I told them I was going to challenge them, and this is probably not, like, the healthy aunt thing for me to do. I'd be, like, discouraging this, but I'm not.
No, don't.
Right? So I told Brandon, the one that was visiting, I said, okay, Bran, what if one of you took a drink every time Jenny says, and then one of you takes a drink every time I say, like, and see who gets drunker quicker, which is a mouthful, by the way. And he goes, oh, God, we might die. I said, I'm pretty sure your liver already has cirrhosis if you've been doing this.
Yes. So, It makes me want to say it on purpose, just for funsies, but
I kind of want to sit here and say the word like over and over and over again,
exactly.
But then I don't want to kill them either, because I love them both very, very much.
Right. It's a moral dilemma. It really is.
It really is.
What are we going to do?
Because if the shoe is on the other foot...
The power that we wield, it's just...
Right. Well, I know that if the shoe were on the other foot and it was them in a podcast and I came to them and said, hey, I do this every time you say whatever word, they would purposely be like, hey, Aunt Miranda, blah, 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 blah. Like, I know they would. I know them. They'd wait till, like, the very end of the podcast, though, and then just start saying it over and over and over again.
Well, there's an idea.
I really like it.
I gotta ask you for an update on Riverdale.
Okay, so I didn't watch today's Thursday, so I didn't watch today, but I knew some of the things that happened, and there's actually an author who I love who apparently watches it, and so she was, like, live tweeting as she was watching the show tonight, and she was like, my God, how many girlfriends does Archie have?
Oh, Jesus.
And I was like, I think he'd be dating everybody.
Everybody. Oh, why, though? But why, though?
Have you seen him with his shirt off? That's all I need.
Oh, God.
What does it, dude, say? Paper bag it?
No dude ever said that to me, but what if?
Well, no, like, you hear him talking, especially, like, younger
when we were in high school and stuff, you hear people say, well,
put a paper bag over her head.
I like to say butterface.
Well, yeah, we did that one.
Everything's
too,
hot, butterface.
She a 10, butterface. Yeah. God, that's so mean.
Wow, we're terrible. See, this is another reason why you're a much better mother than I am.
No, no.
And because I told him to his face, like, no, I'm seriously not taking you to the movie for the first time. Like, after the first time, that's fine. But I'm just not going to do it. And then another reason why you're a better mother than me is, for anybody that's starting a list, I've got lots of those. But so Ethan lost a tooth, one of his front teeth, at field day last week. And, you know, I played this game called, is Ethan going to remember anything? And during this game...
Oh, I can't play that game with Kaden.
Yeah. So let's just say it's been not quite a week, but a good 4 nights since he's lost his tooth. He has yet to put the tooth under the pillow for the tooth fairy. Because I just don't want to remind him. I want him to think of it and do it himself. Put his pillow or put his tooth under his pillow. Because I feel like, you know, you're 7. Like, come on. If you could take a shower by yourself, then you can remember to put your little tooth under the pillow. So another reason is I never have cash on me. And spoiler alert, if you're listening, you're not aware, Tooth Fairy is fiction. And your mama is the one who puts the...
Oh, God. The no, she didn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, ruin shit. That.
But
anyway.
So I never have cash on me. And, you know, the Tooth Fairy has set a precedence of $5 bills for teeth. So my plan is to raid his piggy bank. They say the word woke way fucking much.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just going to say it right now. The word woke and the word extra, I think I'm really fucking old because when somebody's like, that's so extra or he's so woke, I want to be like, does he need to go to back to bed? He's got extra or he's got extra what?
No.
I know what they mean. I get it. But it's like the damn on fleek a few years ago. Really? Is it necessary?
I agree with you on woke. It's driving me crazy in the show. But extra is my jam.
I know it's your jam. And every time you text me and you're like, such and such is so extra. I'm like,
oh God, Jenny, please.
Sometimes it's the perfect way to fucking describe.
Now, there was one day that you sent it to me in a text message. And not to like call Ethan, but you were like, damn, Ethan is so extra today. Now, that day, that was funny. That was so funny.
And then I got that back when he told me that I was extra.
But I guess I'm just old because when people run around and say those words, I'm like, what? Oh, God.
I will own that. I won't say woke. I won't say that, but I'll say extra. Especially around you.
Oh,
now,
I did learn. Oh, you can say it as much as you want to. I did learn, though, you're not supposed to call yourself woke. Like, you are not, it's not apparently correct or polite to say, I'm so woke, but you can say, he's so woke, or that's woke, or, but you're not allowed to, apparently, you're not allowed to call yourself that, I learned.
I want to say one of the characters does say that. They actually discuss an app where they have, like, pictures of all the students, and you swipe left if they're woke and right if they're not woke.
It's Tinder for woke people.
It's Tinder for wokeness.
I don't even want to say that word. That is... How dare somebody post this in the middle of us trying to record, because now all I can stare at is Stephen Amell butt.
What? Where's the Stephen Amell butt? Why are you looking at stuff when I'm
Because
and I'm trying to speak to you. Get woke, Miranda.
Oh, my God. I'm too old. I was trying to send you a link to something that we need for our current podcast, and I have to use Facebook to do it, and I flip over there, and damn you, Russell Sellers.
What is he doing?
In the middle of our message, post the link to the video of Stephen Amell doing Ninja War.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, now you got me watching it. We can't do this. We're a podcast.
Well, we could be like Greg and Nick, where they explain what is happening as they're watching it.
No. Jay needs private time to view this.
I need some private time to view this. They just said the fanboys all across America are losing their minds. I think they meant fangirls. Losing their minds. Well, there are some fanboys out there losing their minds, mm-hmm. too, but... Mm-hmm. Holy... Oh, God!
Stop it!
I can't help it.
Stop it right now!
I can't stop looking!
Step away from the phone.
I'm not on the phone. I'm on the actual computer. It's in front of me. I can't make it go away.
Minimize.
Nope, it's on now. Just keep going. I can multitask. I'm a mother. Like, I know how you're always going, well, I'll just hate watch it. You do realize that when you're hate watching, you're giving it views. Like, you are adding to viewership. And
what the hell are you saying? They're supposed to know how much.
There should be a button on your remote that says, I'm only hate watching this.
Don't count me on your statistics.
Please do not count me. It should be, Nielsen family? Because we were a Nielsen family a really long time. There should be a separate Nielsen where it's like, please list all the shows that you only watch because you hate it, and you have to see if it's going to get worse because you know it's going to.
You know what else would fall under that category?
Don't even say it. That's not the one I thought you were going to say. That one's not up for a debate either.
But before we get to that, I wanted to tell you guys about something that happened in my house.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, so going on 3 weeks ago, we finally bit the bullet, and Ethan has been asking for, like, months and months for a cat, a kitten. And I finally found a cat that needed to be rehomed. And she came from a loving home, but the girl says that her other cat was very mean to this little cat. And her name is Libby, and she's like a year old. So we just wanted an indoor cat, and she says she's strictly indoor. I'm like, okay. So she brought all of her stuff, and Libby's been living here for about 3 weeks. And I don't know where Libby goes. Like, she's a ninja cat. She's a ghost cat. I don't know, but she eats at night. I can hear her eating at night, and I'll catch glimpses of her very rarely. But there's an animal just living in my house, and I've looked under the beds, in the closets, under every piece of furniture. I have no idea where this cat goes to hide.
I know where she goes.
Tell me.
Well, see, my brother Eric used to have a cat just like this, whose name was Moo. And then when I met him and learned about this shit like this that Moo did, we renamed him Dr. Moo, if you get where I'm going with this. Because you could go through that house and close every single door in the house, every window, everything was closed. There's no Moo. Like, you did. Look through the cabinets, through the closets. There's no fucking Moo anywhere.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you turn around, and he's sitting right beside you going, meow. And you're like, where the fuck did you come from? Because I've checked every cabinet. Every door in this house is closed. Every window is closed. You were not in any of those bedrooms. You were not in this living room. So where the hell did you come from? So we finally decided that Moo hops, like the doctor does, from, like, to different dimensions and different times and different... Yeah, so I think Libby must be a descendant of Dr. Moo somehow.
That makes perfect sense to me.
And that's what Libby does. Libby's like, ha-ha, just kidding, pop! And
yeah.
She's going, doing, like, her thing, and then at night she's like, man, I'm really hungry. That's where the food is. So she pops back in.
Right. And so, yeah. Like, the girl who gave her to us, she texts me like quite frequently, you know, trying to check up on her, keep tabs on her. And I'm like, you know, she's eating. She comes out at night. Like, we would love to love on her. And she's like, you're just going to have to, like, get her and just, like, make her love you. Like,
oh, because that goes well for most people that, like, yeah. Like the words make the cat love you just right. don't just sound very work. Appealing to me.
And I'm, first of all, I'm just never going to be that person anyway. Like, if that cat wants some loving, she'll come to me. But I don't want her to, like, think that we don't want her. So when I look for her, my intention is to, like, gently, like, you know, rub on her and pet her and talk sweet to her and make, you know, try to get her more familiar with us. But, I mean, I just have no idea where she goes.
I'm telling you, she's going to a pocket dimension.
That makes sense.
Well, you know, last week while all of us down here were preparing for Irma, my son decided that while we were in the middle of Walmart, we went to the water aisle. No, people, I was not there for water because I already knew there was no water. We were there for Gatorade because it's in the water aisle. And he sees all the water missing, and he sees all the people, like, pushing each other through that aisle. Like, literally, there were some rude people. I ain't even kidding. And they were being really rude to each other, like, just trying to get past each other to see if they could maybe spot, like, one thing of water. And Caden, out of nowhere, screams at the top of his freaking lungs, and it's like, oh, my God, it is not the end of the world.
How did that go over?
Well, I'm like, everybody just kind of stopped, which I thought was great because, you know, the whole point was everybody was pushing and shoving and being assholes. And I was like, man, we just here for a regular Gatorade. This is like a weekly Gatorade thing. This is not because Irma's happening. Like, can I just get it, please? And everybody just kind of stops and look at me. And some people are laughing and some people are looking at me like, really? How would you allow your child to say that? Mm-hmm. And I just shrugged my shoulders and I went, well, he's not wrong. And one old man was like, I like you, buddy. You're going places. That old man was great. Because then he stood and talked to Caden for 5 minutes because Caden had on a shirt that said Powered by Bacon. And he was like, you going places, buddy. So that, it's not a cat hopping to pocket dimensions. That's the kind of things that my kid has been doing. But I'll tell you right now, Colton Haynes. You guys remember him from Arrow?
Mm-hmm. Speedy. I mean, Red Arrow.
Right. Oh, my effing Lord. He is one hot detective in this show.
Oh, is he?
Oh, my God. His hair is, like, white blonde. And he's in, like, suits. Because he's a detective. You know, and they don't usually dress in, like, a police uniform, which, you know, I got a whole spill on that later.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so he's in suits, and that hair, I don't know why, but it very much fits him well. I was going to say suits him well, but then I realized I've already said the word suit, like, 5 times. That's my fucking big word of the day.
My prediction is that he turns into a clown. Do the thing, though.
How do you want me to do the thing this time?
Like, Lovecraftian style.
Which, when you say Lovecraftian style, for some reason, do you know where my brain went? Remember when PBS on Saturday nights, or before they had, like, Sherlock and things like that, and the Masterpiece?
Mm-hmm.
And he would sit in his chair and be like, welcome to Masterpiece Theater.
Yeah. Do it like
so, that. That's how I feel when describing Lovecraftian stuff. So, welcome to Nerd Eye Candy of the Moment.
Nice. That made me feel better. Thank you. Because I was pretty pissed.
Welcome right. to Nerd Eye Candy of the Moment. We talk about it really soon.
Sounds like NPR.
I love NPR. I could be on NPR. The problem is I say fuck too much, and I talk really loudly. This is really hard for me to do right now.
You would never make it on NPR.
No, because they would be like, today on NPR, my name is Miranda Berthold, and I'm here to... Stop it! I can't even do it!
here to interview Jenny Smith. Jenny, welcome. Welcome. How are you?
And then you'd look at me and I'd be like, fuck!
Wait, do it again. I'll try. Okay, hold on.
Okay, it's okay. You don't have to. I can't be NPR.
We just can't. We're too silly.
I can try.
Hold on. Great.
But I feel like I need the microphone like all the way in my mouth. You watch when they do the live recordings of those. They're all up on the microphone like this.
Oh, shit.
You can always tell when they have, like, an intern or something, because out of nowhere they're like, welcome to NPR, what's that? And you're like, whoa, fuck, calm down! Uh-oh. Being fired today.
Oh, shit. Oh, that was awesome. We'll be right back.